So today we are looking at Matthew chapter the first 15 verses. I think it has about 40, 45 or so verses. And so we are dealing with the first 15 verses, and then next week we'll look at the rest of the chapter. And the theme here is freely you have received, freely give. The study for today deals with the calling of the 12 disciples and the ministry the Lord gave to them. Our study today also goes into details about how we should conduct ourselves when we are ministering to the Lordship of the house of Israel, the 12 disciples, apostles. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirit to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. The 12 disciples represents the Lord's elect. As we are aware, the number 12 is the foundation, is the number of foundation and of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." As these 12 disciples represent the Lord's elect of every generation, the work being carried out by the elect therefore serves as the foundation for the building of the temple of the Lord within every elect first in this age. In the age to come, the Lord's elect foundational work of Christ will give rise to the New Jerusalem, whose dimensions are based on the number 12. Revelation chapter 2, 21, verse 2 says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Verse 11 and 12 says, "Given the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and had the 12 angels, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel." In order to carry out the foundational work of Christ, we must be endued with power. This power is the pouring of the Holy Spirit on us, as exemplified by the disciples receiving the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. "When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance." In verse 1, we are told what this power, which is the Holy Spirit, does in the lives of the disciples or the elect, and what our ministry entails. Firstly, this power causes us to have dominion over unclean spirits and to cast them out. Spiritually, the unclean spirits represent false doctrines. Having power over the unclean spirit means that the false doctrines of the devil shall not hurt us. If the false doctrine of the devil will not hurt us, then it implies that we, his elect, are being given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Luke chapter 24, verse 45. "Open he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures." Matthew chapter 13, verse 11 and 12. "And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. It is the truth that dispels the lies of the evil one in our hearts and mind. Casting out the unclean spirit, therefore, means that it is the hail, the truth, that will destroy the refuge of lies perpetuated by the devil in our lives, and that of those that we minister to. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9-17. Judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail, that is the truth, shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. Sickness or all manner of disease represents everything that makes it impossible for us to function properly as children of God. We know from the word of the Lord that it is our flesh that makes it impossible for us to please the Lord with our lives. Romans chapter 7, verse 18 to 20 says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me." The disciples being given power to heal all manner of sicknesses means that we, his elect, are being given power over our flesh. To be given power over the flesh means the destruction of the flesh in our lives. This entails being judge of our old man or flesh by the Lord in this age. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, and then verse 7. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Verse 7 and 8, "For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now lets will let, until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." Isaiah 26, verse 9. "With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 and 2 says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh, that is being judged, has ceased from sin, that he no longer shall live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God." Matthew chapter 10, verse 2 to 4. "Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Levius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him." The names of the disciples reveal to us the characteristics of the Lord's elect and the role the Lord has given to us. Peter means a rock or stone. In the Bible, we, the Lord's elect, are living stones for the building of a spiritual house. That is to say that we are called to the office of a holy priesthood to offer our spiritual sacrifices acceptable to the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says, "Ye also are as living stones built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Kundu means manly. This implies that as the Lord selects, we have the qualities and characteristics expected of men. In other words, we are mere men that the Lord has exalted by giving us this office of being royal priesthood. Acts chapter 14, verse 11 to 15. When the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying the speech of Lacania. The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas, Jupiter, and Paul, Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen, garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out, and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein." James means supplanter. A supplanter is someone who takes over or takes the place of someone else, usually on purpose. We, the Lord's elect, are supplanters in the sense that we are being shown mercy through the unbelief of our brothers and sisters in Babylon or the churches of this world. And this calls for us to be humble, since it is not because we are wise, but that God in his purpose caused many not to believe, so that he will show mercy on us. Romans chapter 11, verse 30 to 32. "For as ye in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all." This issue of being supplanters is clearly demonstrated by the story of Jacob and Esau, especially with their conception and birth. Genesis chapter 25, verse 21 to 26. "And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. The Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, 'If it be so, why am I this?' And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, 'Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger.' When her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red, all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bore them." Esau coming out red means that he was of the earth or earthy. Esau therefore represents all those who are being controlled by the flesh. In the Bible, lifting up one's heel against someone shows the enmity exhibited by the one who raised his heel against his brother. We know that our flesh is at enmity against the spirit that the Lord has given to us. Psalm 41 verse 9 says, "Ye, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." It's all telling us, the meaning of the word lifting up heel against. For Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that You cannot do the things that you will. Jacob's hand holding Esau's heel therefore signifies Jacob's victory over his brother's enmity. This demonstrates that we, his late, have been given victory over the flesh as supplanters. As indicated in the struggle in the womb of Rebekah, we shall become stronger through the power of God as possessors of our flesh, that is the earthly. Hosea chapter 12, verse 3. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength, he had power with God. Ephesians 2, 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twin one new man, so making peace. John means Jehovah is a gracious giver. The Lord has indeed given us all we need to become overcomers in this life. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Philip means lover of horses. In the Bible, horses represent war. As the Lord detects, elect, we are in a time of war against our flesh, which is powered by the devil. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 31 says, the horse is prepared in the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. The good news is that we know that the outcome of this war is in our favor. We are more than conquerors. We are therefore lovers of this war against our flesh in league with the devil, knowing that we shall come out victorious through the enabling power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 to 39. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ptolemy means son of Ptolemy. It is not clear what the name Ptolemy means. We shall therefore not go beyond what is written. Thomas means a twin. In the scriptures, on a positive note, twins signify our fruitfulness. This implies that as the Lord's elect, we shall surely be fruitful in the fullness of time as we bring forth the whole of the human race as children of the Lord. Song of Solomon chapter 6 verses says, thy teeth are as a flock of sheep which go up from the washing, whereof everyone bears twins, and there is not one barren among them. That's what it means, that twins represents fruitfulness. Galatians chapter 4 verse 26 and 27 shows the fruitfulness of the saints. But Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bear not. Break forth and cry, thou that travaileth not, for the desolate has many more children than she which has a husband. Matthew signifies the gift of Jehovah. The Lord's gift to the church is his ministers. The purpose of this gift is for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, and the edifying of the body of Christ. Ephesians 4, 8. It says, wherefore he says, when he ascended on high, up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Then from verse 11 to 13, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Labious or tedious means large-hearted or courageous. As the Lord's elect, we must be strong and courageous in order to possess our inheritance. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 to 7 says, be strong and of a good courage, for unto these people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou may prosper whithersoever thou goest. Judas means he shall be praised. Our role as the Lord's elect is to appreciate what the Lord has done for us, and as a result, praise him. Our praise should not be just praising him with our lips, but that we should offer our bodies as living sacrifice to the Lord in view of his mercies towards us. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Jesus sends out the 12 apostles. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 and 6. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In these verses, the Lord is showing us the focus or the boundaries of our ministry as the Lord's elect. We are admonished not to go into the way of the Gentiles. The Gentiles here signify the people of this world who do not care about the Lord. We must not spend time with them trying to make them understand the gospel of Jesus. In a similar vein, we must not focus our attention on the Samaritans, who in this case represents our brothers and sisters in Babylon, or the physical churches of the world who are serving another Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4 says, for if he that comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Our priority as the Lord's elect is to go after the lordship of the house of Israel, who represents the Lord's elect. Our ministry is to the body of believers, represented by those who have left the churches of this world or Babylon in search of knowing Christ. In the parable of the shepherd that left the 99 sheep in search of the Lord's sheep, the Lord is showing us that it is the elect who are the Lord's sheep of the house of Israel. Matthew chapter 18, verse 11 to 14. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man has 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, does he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and search that which is gone astray? And if so be that he finds it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. It is the Lord's elect who are the focus of our ministry, as shown in the following. Ephesians 4:8 says, wherefore he says, when he ascended on high, upon high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Ephesians 4:11 to 16. He says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists some pastors, some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 and 8. And as ye go preaching, preach, say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, stout devils. Freely you have received, freely give. The kingdom of heaven is not a tangible or visible kingdom. It is a spiritual realm where God's will is done in our lives as the Lord's elect, as we live in obedience to his will and purpose. This kingdom of heaven is therefore within the hearts and mind of the Lord's elect. Luke chapter 17, verse 20 to 21. And when he was commanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God shall come, he answered and said, the kingdom of God comes not with observation, neither shall they say, look here or look there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. In the fullness of time, this kingdom shall be outward, as it embraces the whole of the human race, as every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Philippians 2, 10 and 11. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Revelation 11, 15. The seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. This kingdom of heaven could not be realized in the life of an elect without the sacrificial death of our Lord Jesus Christ and the filling up of that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in our flesh for his body's sake. Colossians 1:24, who now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. The Lord instructing the disciples to preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand is therefore to let us know that Jesus' sacrificial offering as a lamp of God has drawn near to pave the way for the establishment of the kingdom of heaven for a people called and chosen by God. Our ministry as the Lord's elect is to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, and cast out devils. As indicated earlier, sickness represents everything that makes it impossible for us to function properly as children of God. We know from the word of the Lord that it is our flesh that makes it impossible for us to please the Lord with our lives. Healing the sick, therefore, implies showing our fellow brothers and sisters how to overcome our flesh through the Lord's judgment of our old man or flesh. In the previous study, it was established that a leper signifies one who is dominated by the flesh. The cleansing of the leper was the judgment of the Lord, which brings about the cleansing that is learning righteousness. Isaiah 26, verse 9. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Being dead symbolizes our spiritual poverty when we are not walking in line with the word of the Lord. The raising of the dead means the Lord coming to us with the spirit of his mouth and his brightness to cause us to become obedient to his words. Casting out the devil implies destroying the false doctrines in our heaven, with the truth of the word of the Lord. The ministry of the elect must be governed by the fact that freely we have received the Lord's gift and freely we must give. In other words, we must not put the Lord's people under financial pressures to support our ministry. Our Lord, who is sending us, knows how to take care of our needs. Philippians 4:11, 19 and 20. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God, our Father, be glory forever and ever. Amen. Matthew chapter 10, verse 9 to 11. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor crib for your journey, neither two goats, neither shoes, nor yet staffs, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And unto whosoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. If we are to understand what the Lord is telling us, we must know that the words of the Lord are spiritual. As we are aware, it is the spirit that gives life, and the letter of the word profits nothing. John 6:63. It is the spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. We know from the word of the Lord that gold and silver represent the word of the Lord as shown in the following verses. Ezekiel 16:13. Thou was then decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk, embroidered work. Thou did eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou was exceedingly beautiful, and thou did prosper into a kingdom. Ezekiel 16:17 says, thou hast also taken thy fair jewels of my gold and my silver, which I have given thee, and made to thyself images of men, and did commit whoredom with them. When gold, silver, and base metals are mentioned together, they signify the purifying work of the Lord in burning out all the dross and impurities of our earthen vessels, just as these metals must be taken out of the earth and refined through fire. Numbers chapter 31, verse 22 and 23. Only the gold and the silver and the brass and the iron, the tin and the lead, everything that may abide the fire, you shall make it go through the fire, and it shall be clean. Nevertheless, it shall be purified with the water of separation. Nor that abide not the fire, ye shall make go through the water. The Lord telling his disciples not to take gold, silver, and brass in their purses in verse 9 is to tell us that it is not within our domain to make one holy. It is the work of the Lord to purify our hearers. Our portion is to preach the word. That's why it says we should not take gold, and that the purifying work of this of the Lord. The king is a leather pouch for food. In verse 10, we are admonished by the Lord not to journey with crib, two coats, shoes, and staff. Staffs actually are walking sticks. Physically, all these items are things that we need for our ministry. The reason the Lord does not want us to focus on them is that he is our provider, and therefore we must have confidence in him as a father who cares for his children. Philippians 4, 19 and 20. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Spiritually, the crib represents the word of God. The Lord does not want us to worry about what we are to say. Even in the time of persecution, the Lord does not want us to focus on what we are to speak. Matthew chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. And when they deliver you up, no thought of what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. The coats are the same as garments which signified righteousness. Here, the Lord is making us aware that we should not be burdened by thinking that we must be righteous before we can serve as witnesses to the lordship of the house, to the lordship of Israel or the lost people. Some of us think that we must be without blame before we can preach the gospel of the Lord. Inasmuch as we must be holy to present ourselves as living sacrifice to the Lord, we are a work in progress that the Lord is making into another vessel as it seems good to him. Exodus chapter 39, verse 27. And they made coats of fine linen, woven work for Aaron and for his sons. So the coats, the same as the fine linen. Then in Revelation chapter 19, verse 8 says, and to her was granted that she be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. So the quote also talks about righteousness. The quote that he said we should, the reason that it is two is because we are to witness. We are not to worry so much about, I must be righteous before I can witness to somebody. We are a work in progress. And we'll be blameless on the day that we rise from the death. The shoes represents our feet, which signify the preparation of the gospel of peace. Oh, I think I ignored Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 3 and 4. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the wheels that he made of clay were marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. The shoes represent our feet, which signify the preparation of the gospel of peace. The Lord is telling us that we should not have to prepare to speak the word to those he brings to us. In other words, we must always be ready to speak the word. Ephesians 6:15. And your feet should with the preparation of the gospel of peace. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reproof, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering in doctrines. Staffs here refer to walking sticks. It refers to our walk with the Lord. We do not have to worry about our walk with the Lord as to whom we are to minister as we journey here on this earth. The Lord himself will direct our walk with him to the people he has designated for us to become a blessing to us and those to whom we are to minister. Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks with Abraham his steps. The one who is worthy is someone who the Lord has prepared to be receptive to our message of peace. As we go about our mundane duties, the Lord himself will direct our walk to those he has prepared. Matthew chapter 10, verse 12 to 15. And when ye come into the house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Here the Lord is warning us that there are times that our message of peace will not be received by our audience. In that case, we have to depart as we shake off the dust of our feet. The following verse shows us what it means to shake off the dust from our feet. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 2. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. So shaking off the dust from our feet means losing ourselves from the band of wickedness of our earthen vessel or flesh. As humans, our natural tendency when we are rejected is to become revengeful or morose. For example, James and John reacted according to the flesh when they asked the Lord to consume the Samaritans who rejected Jesus with fire from heaven. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. to 56. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into the village of Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? But he turned to them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. And they went to another city, village, shaking the dust off our feet. If we are shaking the dust off our feet, if we are not welcomed, means putting to death the sinful deeds of our flesh or old man who may want to react to our rejection. In verse 15, the Lord is telling us that our rejection will be addressed in the fullness of time. May the Lord continue to put to death the sinful deeds of our flesh as we continue in Him. Amen.